So the subject for today is Kuf Lamed Chet. Apparently authored by David HaMelech, and it is a mizmor of thanks, but very different from some that we've already seen. Let's look carefully. Otcha bechol libi. I will thank you, or I will acknowledge you with all of my heart. But now comes a very strange word. Neged Elohim. Neged Elohim azamercha. And I did not say Elohim, I said Elohim, precisely because most of our Mefarshim agree she's a lo kadosh. Elohim can be lo yelecha Elohim acherim, other gods. Elohim can mean dayanim or shoftim. Elohim can mean against the powers, in the face of the powers that be. And what he's actually telling us is here, I will thank you and I will sing to you, but I will do so in the face of, in the presence of Elohim. Radak and Mitzudot tell us, Ele hashoftim v'hachachamim. I will do so in public, in the face of, in the presence of the judges, the smart men, the wise men, if you like, the Sanhedrin. And Ibn Ezra explains why they're called Elohim. Ele hadayanim shemikayimim mishpatei Elokim ba'aretz. These are the people that establish and execute the laws of God here on earth. Rashi tells us something strange. First he tells us, I will do it in the presence le'enei hasarim, in front of all the princes, in front of all the powers that be. But in parentheses, he writes, Hamelachim, the angels, in front of the angels. What would you do that, and why would he put that there? It occurred to me that he's not talking about doing this in the face of other Jews, prominent Jews, thanking them, if you like, in the presence, in the same way that we make Birkat HaGomel, in front of a whole kehillah, but rather that he will do this in the face of the goyim. And in fact, it turns out that that's what Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says that it means. He will find evidence for this as we move along. He tells us as follows, Eshtachave el heichal kodshecha, I will bow down towards, as we do now when we bow down towards where the Beit HaMikdash would have been, for those who believe that it is the house where the Aron Kodesh was, where originally the Ark of the Covenant was. Zehu Hechal Kodshecha, says Radak. But we know that David in his lifetime did not have Beit HaMikdash built yet. So there was no Heichal at that point. There is at best the Mishkan. And therefore, Malbim argues, Hashem beHeichalo, God is in his palace, to indicate kivyachol that God's presence is hidden from us. He seems to be far away up there in a transcendent and invisible mode. And there what we have is therefore a guidance from God that is hidden from us. He's here, but he's invisible. So I will bow down towards your palace. But where is your palace? Well, the children already know. Where is God? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. And that's why, what does he say? Odeh et shmecha. I will thank, or I will pronounce, milashon in this case, lehodia, with an ayin, or like the word vidui, I will confess your name. And what does he tell us, and why am I going to confess or declare your name? Al chazdecha ve'al amitecha, for your love, your unconditional chesed, ve'al amitecha, and for your truth. And the question is, what truth are we talking about? So Radak argues, this is the truth that you have fulfilled your promise that I would be king. Despite all of my travails, despite all the persecution, you have kept your truth. Granted, you kept your word. And therefore, amitecha means you keep your promises. But then he adds something very strange. Ki higdalta al kol shimcha. You've increased, what you've done is even more than any of your names. Asks Feivel Meltzer, how can I say more than all of his names? Doesn't the name Yudke Vavke mean Haya, Hove, Yiyeh, and indicates God's presence everywhere, and the fact that he is almighty and above all? Can there be something greater than Shem Hashem? And if that's the case, what was greater than your name? Imratecha, what you had said. Greater than your name is what you had said. To some, what was greater than what your name is? What you said at Har Sinai. In other words, the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments that you gave us is even greater than the acknowledgement of your name. Indicating that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov may have understood that there is a creator. They had come conceptually to the idea that there is only one God that created it all, and that was the beginning of all beginnings. And finally, they actually had God speak to them. But Am Yisrael not only saw God kiviyachol face to face, if not his picture, then at least they saw the words. But they were also given a way of life. And if that's the case, then the very idea of Aseret HaDibrot, a morality that would be functional in this world, is even greater than that idea. Rashi tells us, though, Shimcha, your name, indicates that you are Bal HaGvurot, you are the Almighty. And as of the Almighty, Rashi says, Kano Venokem, that you are a jealous God, a vengeful God. And therefore, Shimcha means the Midas Hadin. Where Imratecha, your pronouncement, what you told us, is that you promised the goodness, the love, the chesed, unconditionally. B'midas harachamim. Now Rashi is being quite oblique. He presumes that you understand what he's saying. It's so obvious to him. So I would like to explain a little bit about Shimcha and Imratecha. I will pronounce your name. I will thank you in the face of all other gods and all other ideas and all other religions and all other forces and powers. But I have come to recognize that what you have told us is even greater than your name. What was your name? At Har Sinai, the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol introduced himself to us. Vayered Hashem Ba'anan, he came down in the cloud on the mountain. And all Am Yisrael stood there and heard the voice coming from the mountain. And what did they hear? On this, there's no question that these two Dibrot, everybody heard directly. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Not Ani, Anochi. As one would look at somebody eye to eye. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, mi Beit Avadim. I am that one that saved you. I'm the one that redeemed you. I'm the one that freed you. Here I am to treat you. And I want you to know, lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai, on my face. On my face means there's no mediators, no in-between between you and me. So in that sense, Elohim can mean dayanim shoftim, or as the Romans and Greeks would have it, they've got the king of all the gods, Zeus, and underneath him a bunch of little gods. And if that's the case, perhaps that's what Rashi means, malachim, angels. You have no intermediaries that are covering up my face, that are between me and you, because we are panim el panim, face to face. Therefore, lo tase lecha kol pesel, kol tmuna asher bashamayim imal vasher ba'aretz mitachat vasher bamayim mitachat la'aretz. Make no objective correlative to stand for me. There needs to be no statue. Don't think that the Greeks bowed to a statue thinking that the statue made them. Even primitive people didn't believe that the idol itself made them, but the idol represented an invisible force. You, however, will have no representations of me. We deal with each other straight to face. We don't need this. Don't bow to them. Don't serve them. Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha. And now let me clarify, what is the theology of Aseret HaDibrot? The theology of Aseret HaDibrot is Anochi Elkana. I'm a jealous God, like a jealous husband. This is an exclusive marriage, a monogamous marriage. Am Yisrael and Kutsh Abrichu, none others. Kelkana, and therefore I am jealous, I will tolerate no one else. Furthermore, I am a God of law. Poked avon avot al banim, I hold responsible and will visit the sins of the fathers on their sons, on their grandchildren, on their great-grandchildren. When? Leson I. Only if what you do is out of hatred or spite. If you sinned accidentally, beshogeg, you didn't know what you were doing, you didn't mean it, you didn't know it was forbidden, then you didn't do it for spite. But when you know that it's forbidden and you do it anyway, then your actions will have their impact up to 4 generations on you, on your children, on your grandchildren, and on your great-grandchildren. But oseh chesed le'alafim, but I will extend unearned love and kindness for thousands of generations. If le'ohavai u'leshomrei mitzvotai, if what you did when you served me, when you kept my Torah, if you did it willingly, out of love, not out of fear of punishment, and by keeping my laws. Which means that if you see today an unaffiliated Jew and he seems to be doing very well, chances are it's because of the chesed that his Eda did, or Elter Zede. That goes travels on. In other words, the credits go on for thousands of generations. Notice it doesn't say a thousand, but thousands. Multiple. Whereas punishment is only extended up to four generations. Furthermore, don't bear the name of Hashem your God, swearing to it. But the name of God is also upon us. Don't besmirch or desecrate the name of God for naught. For God will not cleanse whoever does this, taking his name in vain or bearing his name in vain. That was it. What happened after the Ten Commandments? No sooner did Moshe Rabbeinu receive the rest of them and the rest of the Torah, when he, after 40 days, goes down, and what does he see? The breach of the Second Commandment. There is the golden calf. Didn't take very long, and they've already violated it, even when they heard this directly on themselves. And they said, Elu Elohecha Yisrael, these are your gods, Israel, on the golden calf. A representation either of God or a representation of Moshe. It makes no difference. But they immediately violated the first two commandments. Well, after the big fight that went on, those that actually constructed it were killed. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to heaven and begins to make a case for Am Yisrael and begins to beg for forgiveness. There he begs God, I want to understand who you are. Hareini na et kvodecha. Show me your essence. We use the word kavod to mean your honor, but the British understood this. I give you my word of honor. Says Malbim, the word kavod means the mahut, the essential being. What are you, God? Are you love? Are you judgment? Why is it that good people are suffering? Why is it that bad people seem to be flourishing? The world makes no sense. Show it to me. And Hashem promised him, Avil kol tuvi al panecha. I will make you see all of my goodness. And I will call out the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in front of you. And I will choose to lead this world no longer by judgment, but by love which is unconditional. What's the problem with that? The problem with love that's unconditional is chanoti et asher achon. I'll be kind, I'll be good to whoever I choose to be good to. Richamti et asher arachem. I will have rachmonis on whoever I choose to have rachmonis, and it will make no sense. If you don't want din, if you want love, then it makes no sense. For the roshe is just as much God's son as the tzaddik. If you have a hanhaga, if God would lead this world only by the first two commandments as they were originally given, evil would be zapped. Wouldn't survive very long. At most, four generations. At most. But we see that evil thrives and survives. And this world makes no sense. You have good people suffering. You've got evil people living the good life. And it's topsy-turvy and utterly and completely absurd. Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the absurdity because that absurdity includes something called tshuva. Because tshuva means you can change, you can become a new person, and you can erase the past. Does that include the murderer? Can he erase the past? So is there justice? If you've been harmed and your harmer repents, you would rail against that, wouldn't you? You would rail against any kind of pardon. You would rail against any kind of mercy. And what did he teach him this time? A new theology. The new theology is not kivyachol mahu elokim, but rather mayi hahanaga. How is this world being run by God? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, he's slow to anger, v'rav chesed v'emet, make up your mind. If it's chesed, it's not emet. If it's emet, it's not chesed, right? But to have the two of them at the same time implies that in fact what where it is set right is be'olam ha'emet, in the world of truth, not in this world. Shehu kulo shekel. That's why he said, al chazdecha ve'al amitecha. Will the promises be fulfilled? The answer is absolutely. Will they happen in your lifetime? Maybe yes, maybe not. Will they happen after your life? Yes. Yes, when you cannot always see it. Eventually, it becomes emes. You see, emes is made up of the first letter, the aleph, the last letter, the taf, the alpha, and the omega. And in the middle, it has the mem. That's the middle letter. We live in the middle. We don't know what came before us. We don't know if we've lived previous lifetimes. We don't even know if what's happening here is actually hell. We don't know what comes after us. We need to make our judgments based on being, if you like, blinded to the beginning and the end, in a world that can only know one thing, chesed. But chesed is irrational. Notzer chesed le'alafim. Please notice carefully, not ose chesed. He doesn't do love for thousands. He saves it, watches over it, and saves it for when? Yimot HaMashiach Olam Haba, I don't know. Furthermore, it also tells you, Nose Avon Vapesha Vechata'a. He lifts up and takes the monkey off your back for both deliberate sin, criminal sin, and mistakes. Chata'a. Does it mean that what you did to somebody else is also erased? Nake lo yinake. But he lifts the monkey off your back long enough for you to transform yourself, become a different person. So the person who did tshuva is not the person that sinned. That person ceases to exist, a new person comes along. But what about recompense? What about what you've damaged to other people? Ah, that you cannot. That, Ribbono Shel'Olam, does not take away. That's why the cleansing is not there. You still need to somehow pay for it. And where is the payment made? Poked avon avot al banim, al bnei banim, al sheleishim ve'al rebeim. Even if it's not lesonai. So that you can have children suffering, grandchildren suffering, even if what you did was not for spite, even if they themselves are perfectly good. If that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu gave up on Shimcha and settled for Imratecha, God's pronouncement, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. And that's what Rashi means. ki Hashem kel chanun v'rachum. That is what I'm banking on. That is greater than the God of judgment. It's better to be under the guidance of a God that loves me unconditionally, because then I will survive as a people, if not individually. As Am Yisrael, as a collective, we will prevail despite all the cruelty, despite all the persecution, even if we don't deserve it. And that's why Higdalta al kol shimcha, that name is even greater than the Shem given to us at Aseret HaDibrot. My Zayda used to tell me, there's no need to study Jewish philosophy, all you need to do is study Tehillim. All the Mekorot of all the great philosophers, from Rambam to Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon to Ibn Pekuda, it's right here. It's all here. Now what do I know? I'm thanking you, God. Biyom karati, on the day that I called, vataaneni, you answered me. But you did much, much more than that. It's not just that you ultimately answered my prayers when I called out to you. Tarhiveni benafshi oz. Rashi says that the word tarhiveni means you made me bigger than I am. You increased me by planting inside me courage. Ibn Ezra Metzudot simply say, you strengthen me so that I can prevail and I can tolerate and I can survive the worst. Sforno says, no, it's not. He's not talking past tense. Tariveni is future. And Vataaneni is past. Because when I called, you answered me, I assume, I pray, you will strengthen me in the future as well and give me the courage in my soul to withstand this. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, God gives Rahav, and Rahav is not just strength or courage, it's pride. You make me proud, and you give me the strength of character to go out openly amongst Goyim and live like a Jew and look like a Jew, even when I know that they hate me. Because I know I will survive and prevail. They might kill me, but they won't kill Am Yisrael. And I think I've shared with you in the past, if you like, a moment of enlightenment when I was a little girl. I was all of 9 years old when we moved to Denver, Colorado. And the first Shabbos that we were there, my father took his girls, as he always did, to shul. My mother dressed us to the nines, as she always did. My father's wearing his kapit and his talis. And we're on our way. When a Jew who was a survivor of the camps, who bragged about being a Belzer Yoshev, he had come from the town of Belz and had come from a long lines of Belzer Hasidim, who didn't look like a Belzer Chosid at this stage of the game, turns to my father and he tells him, Rebid, this is not Jerusalem. Jew, he says, this is not Jerusalem. You can't walk around this way dressed like you are, walking with your talis, he says, and your kapite. He says, you will awaken the anti-Semites amongst us. Now, this is the 1960s, and I remember in those days, even in Williamsburg and in Borough Park, if you had people walking to shul in August, they wore black raincoats on top of their talesim to hide them, as if somebody didn't know that they were a Jew. So my father turned to him, and I guess because we're sabres, he dared to speak this way. And he told him, Rebid, as Hitler wird kommen in Amerika. And then he stopped and he says, I didn't say Abe, I said as. When Hitler comes to America, he says, and I didn't say if, I said when, because it's just a matter of time. The difference between you and me is that I will die looking like a Jew. For that, I understand Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch's statement. I refuse to hide my kippah. When I came to Denver at Hillel Academy, the little boys were told not to walk outside with a kippah. Instead, they wore little hats to make it look like we were going to some kind of a prep school. So they wore little caps with a name and a logo. Most Erlach Eden that I knew did not wear with a kippah. And yet, if you look carefully, you will see that Arabs don't mind walking with a kafiyah in the heart of Europe, while Jews go around cowering. Tarhiveini, give me the pride, and give me oz, courage, bedafshi, so that I can live like a Jew in spite of the danger. With a little bit of pride, recognizing that my golus is not a punishment. My golus is to spread that I am a believer and there is one God and we will prevail. It's time to stop cowering and being afraid. And then what will happen if I walk around that way? Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz. Then says Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, all the kings of the earth will acknowledge you, will recognize you, because I, as a Jew, bear God's name. Ki shamu imrei picha, for they heard the words that came out of your mouth. In other words, it's a purpose of our golus is not punitive. The purpose of the Jew is to spread the fact that there is a morality that comes from one God, and he is the one God that created all of us, Jews and all nations. And that is the gift of the Jew to all humanity. And what then will the Goyim do? Vayeshiru bedarchei Hashem. They too will open up and sing about or in the ways of Yudkei Vavkei, in the ways of one God who is the Bala Rachamim. Teach them what chesed means. Teach them what pride means. Teach them what charity means. They haven't got a clue. Ki gadol kvod Hashem. For the honor or the essence of God is great, but who needs to carry that? Whose mission is it to bring it to the world? The Jews. The Jew is not out to make Jews out of everybody, but to make them bnei noach and recognize that all peoples of all colors, of all nationalities and all ethnic groups are also his children. And in carrying that, we take a risk, a very big risk. Kiram Hashem, for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is truly exalted. V'shafal yireh, but he sees the oppressed and the humiliated. And he sees down here below, he's not only a transcendent God, he is a personal God, that though he is invisible, he sees what's going on here in this world. Vegavoha, and though he be high, mimerchak yeyeda, from the distance, yeyeda, very strange word. To some it means from a distance, he will make himself known one way or another. To Rashi, Yeyeda is as if it's written with a hey, not with an ayin. From a distance he will throw down thunderbolts, rocks, punish those that need to be punished. In other words, whoever thinks that the evil will get away with it, that won't happen. Ki yesh gam chesed, v'yesh gam emet. And that is why Rashi tells us, hu yiyaser, he will punish. And Radak tells us, mimelchak, from a distance, he will make known his ways to all humanity. But he also acknowledges the strange spelling, yeyeda, and says, yeshaber, he will break the arrogant that thought that they got away with murder. Im elech bekerev tzara, if I should walk in the midst of trouble, or in the midst of a gorge, tzar, makom tzar, similar, says Feivel Meltzer, to gam ki elech begeit sal mavet, when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Techayeni, you will revive me, you will keep me alive, and if I was killed, bring me back again. Al af oivai. Al af oivai can mean despite or in spite of my enemies. Tishlach yadecha, you will send your hand at the very last moment. V'toshieni yimincha, and you will save me with your right hand, as if God will somehow come out of the distance, come out of his invisibility, and do open nisim. And if we haven't seen it in our lifetimes, then nobody has. And if we've refused to acknowledge it, it's because we choose to be blind. For those of us who've lived through 1967, 1973, and from day to day, not recognizing that Am Yisrael is flourishing in spite of all of the troubles, al af oivai, in the face of and in spite of our enemies. But now comes the ultimate prayer. Hashem yigmor be'adi, not yigmol. Does it mean pay me back? Yigmor be'adi, says Rashi, he will concur, he will agree. I beg God, agree with my requests. And to him the request is that when I'm walking in the valley of troubles, when I'm walking through a veil of tzuras, make me live. Keep me alive. Revive me, resuscitate me, in spite of my enemies' desires to eradicate me and exterminate me. Save me. Ibn Ezra, Metzudot, argue, you will finish what I've begun. You will finish what I've begun here on this world, because I have only a short lifetime. I'll do what I can while I'm alive, but I won't be able to finish the job. God, finish the job for my sake. Sforno says, I'm asking you, bring the Mashiach and do Trias HaMesim. Bring back the dead. And Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, please notice carefully, what is he asking? Hashem chasdecha le'olam, your love is everlasting. It goes on forever. From one end of the world to the other end of the world, from the beginning of time to the end of time. Ma'asei yadecha. The works of your hand, the mihem ma'asei yadecha, says Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, it is we are the works of your hand. Kivyachol, only man was created by God himself with his own hands, lovingly. Ma'asei yadecha. We human beings that were created by your hands. Al teref. Don't let us go. Don't leave us alone. Hold on to us. Teref is to let go. Hold on. I'm holding on to you. Don't let go of me. To some, don't let go of your chesed for me. But to Radak, it is I. But Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, Ma'aseh is not with a hey at the end, but Ma'aseh with Yud. I and all human beings were made by your hands. Don't leave us.